Okay, this week is Parshas Toldos. It's also Mochar Chodesh. Okay, correct. When is Rosh Chodesh? Only Sunday? Only Sunday. One day? One day Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes it can be 2 days. Sometimes, is it sometimes 2 days?
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. So this year, 2 days. Okay, so this year we have a unique experience. We're going to lane Mochar Chodesh. Make sure the mafter lanes the correct Haftarah. Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh. We'll speak about that in a few moments. But first, let us begin with the beginning of the parasha. Unfortunately, it's been a very tragic week. We relate very much to the opening of this week's parasha. This week's parasha opens with Avelos. Beginning of the parasha, we learn about the death. It's hinted to the death of Avraham Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu was preparing the Sudas Havra. The whole Klal Yisrael was in Avelos. Who's the Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael really is just the wives. Is Rivka, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Esav should have been in Avelos, and Yaakov Avinu is preparing the Sudas Havra. And it's very interesting that the Torah tells us what was the Sudas Havra. Vayozid Yaakov Nozit. He prepared lentils. Fortunately, this week we relate very much to the Avelos of Klal Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael is in Avelos. Now, there are certain types of tragedies where you can distance yourself. You can say, you know, someone died in war. I'm not a soldier. I can't fight. I don't know how to fight. I'm too old. I'm not well. I'm not sick. I don't have the ability. So a person can distance, and it's a tragedy. So the tragedy person, that other people who are not directly in that tragedy can come forward and can offer words of comfort. But the person that suffers the tragedy, he has nothing what to say. There's nothing you can possibly say when you're in a matzav of tragedy. And indeed, that's what Rashi here tells us. Why do the Avelim eat lentils? Vayozid Yaakov Nozid. Rashi says, he refers to lentils. And why lentils? Because an oval has no peh. A lentil does not have a peh. An oval ain loy peh. He has nothing to say. When a person experiences death, experiences tragedy, there's nothing you can possibly say. You need someone else on the outside to come and to open up and to give over words of comfort. But if the entire Klal Yisrael is in Avelos, the entire Klal Yisrael is in mourning, there's no one that's there to give us comfort. Unfortunately, the events of this week are such. We're all in mourning. We're all together eating the lentils. We all don't have a peh, and there are no words to deal with such a tzara. I mean, we all relate to this. We all go to shul, put on talis, you put on tefillin. When you put on the tefillin, you say umichachmascha tatzil alai, umibinascha tivineni, ubechascha tagdil alai, uvigvurascha tatzmis. And through your gevur, may you cut off oivai v'konai. And here, achmana litzlan, the middle of davening, middle of shemona esrei, with the talis, with the tefillin, such a tragedy has happened. Something that every single person, shovel l'chol nefesh, can relate to. It's not something you can say, someone is being moiser nefesh to live in a dangerous part of Eretz Yisrael for the security of Eretz Yisrael. It's not something you can say, a person who is at war. Every single person relates to this. Every single person is an Avelos, and every single person is together eating the lentils. Ein loy peh. There are no words.
Can I just thought about a pocket? It's a bus.
Yes.
So they sent out a letter. They're asking people to take their cell phones to shul on Shabbos.
In case of an emergency.
And they put it in their pocket. And then since it's in the pocket, it's not a buses. But someone made a note, if you wear jean type of pants,
then it's not a
the pocket
is a buses, correct,
it's
right.
Not
right.
To wear that. But not to put your hand in your pocket and
have a cell phone in case of an emergency. Okay. We learned yesterday is Nogia Allah Lamaisa. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Now this is just a general idea. I'm not trying to be critical, but you study world history. Unfortunately, the Tsar of Klal Yisrael is something which the world judged as with a double standard. if a tragedy happens to someone from the Ummah Sa'olam, oh, the whole world will be all up in war. If something would happen like this, this type of tragedy in a church, in a mosque, oh, the whole world, you wouldn't hear. Happens in a Beis HaKnesses. No, okay, so there is a... It's quiet. Unfortunately, what happens here in the sixth parasha, Esav comes, and Esav says, Yaakov Avinu, he's preparing lentils. He's eating the food of the mourners. This food, the lentils, the Zid Adoshim, represents, it captures the tzara, the avelus, the tzara of Klal Yisrael. And what does Esav do? Let me eat it. It's delicious. Haliteini na min ha'adayim ha'adayim hazeh. This event is mice of a similar one, but unfortunately it's very tragic that the Ummah Sa'olam, when they look at our tsaris, they lack the full sympathy that they should have for us. If this would have been the other way around, it would have been a completely different story. And unfortunately, Jewish history has shown that Yazid, that Haliteini na min ha'adayim ha'adayim hazeh, Halacha biyadeinu, Esav sone Yaakov, it's not the same. The standard is not the same. There is a pegima in how the Ummah Sa'olam relate to our tzar. We have to be on guard. We have to protect ourselves, and we have to keep that in mind. Okay, let's go now to another idea. This said parasha on Shabbos is no avelus. On Shabbos, we learned in Mishlei ein etzef. There's bracha Shabbos, and during the time of bracha, there is no etzef. There is no sadness, and indeed, we have a parasha that is mole bracha. Incredible brachas. Each aliyah, this is the only parasha in the entire Torah where every single aliyah includes bracha. Go through each aliyah, you'll see. Uverachticha, virbeisioscha, atoato, baruch Hashem, v'yitin lecha. Every single aliyah includes numerous brachas. And what is the climax of the bracha? The sixth aliyah. Six is always considered to be a time of bracha. V'hoya b'yom hashishi b'chinyos ha-sheyaviyo and shish is lechem mishneh. There's double. The sixth aliyah is v'yitin lecha lokim itel hashamayim is the bracha. So v'yitin lecha, there are actually 10 brachas in v'yitin lecha. There are 26 words in v'yitin lecha corresponding to the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. The bracha comes directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps to some degree this parasha can be a nechama for the tzara of this week. Okay, this week is also Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh. We lay a special Haftarah Machor Chodesh. The question is why? Why, just because Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, why should that require us to focus on Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos? We only focus on the next day, on Mincha. When Mincha, 6 hours before the next day, that's already a zman we have to take into consideration the next day. But Shabbos morning, we already have to think about what's going to be tomorrow, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. What is the significance of Rosh Chodesh falling after Shabbos? So the answer is, there is something very powerful. And in fact, the connection between Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is even greater than if Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh, than if it would be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh itself. We know that when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we say Ato Yatzarta. It's a different Musaf. It's a different type of Shabbos. When Rosh Chodesh is Chal B'Shabbos, it's a different type of Shabbos. But there's a dimension that's even greater when Rosh Chodesh falls after Shabbos. Why? What do we do Mitzvah Shabbos? We have Sudas Malav Malka. What is the Sudas Malav Malka? Sudas Malav Malka is Dohi Sudasa de David Malka. What is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is all about Malchus. Why is Rosh Chodesh and Mitzvah Shabbos all about Malchus? Okay, there are different approaches, but one of the simpler approaches is what is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a quasi holiday. It's not. On the one hand, there's no issur melacha. Me'ikar hadin, you're allowed to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh. But on the other hand, it's a Yom Tov. We bring special korbanos. We bring a korban musaf. Nashim have the minig not to do certain types of melacha on Rosh Chodesh. The Chazal tell us that originally Rosh Chodesh was a Yom Tov. After the Chedo Egel, it was taken away from us and will one day be restored when Mashiach comes. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov that's somewhere in between. Shabbos is a Yom Tov, a full-fledged holiday. You now do Malacha. Yom Tov also is a full-fledged, but Rosh Chodesh is somewhere in between. What is the nature of such a Yom Tov? The nature of the Yom Tov means to take the mundane activities that we do during the day and to elevate them to a degree of kedusha. We have regular chol, regular standard chol. We have mundane activities. Of course, everything that we do should be should be imbued with Kedusha. But still, more overall, our daily activities are chol relative to Shabbos. Shabbos, everything is Kodesh. Rosh Chodesh is somewhere in between. It's a partial Yom Tov, which takes the mundane activities that we do and elevates it to a much higher degree. What is the role of a melech? The role of a melech is exactly what the role of Rosh Chodesh is in relation to the other holidays. The Kohen Gadol, there are two major leaders in Klal Yisrael. There's the Kohen Gadol, and there is the melech. The Kohen Gadol is Shabbos. 100% sacred. The Kohen Gadol spends his day in the Beis HaMikdash, he spends his day with the Kohanim, he spends his day with him Korbanos, is Kodosh LaHashem. The Kohen Gadol is Begeder, Shabbos, and Yom Tov. The Melech, the Tafkid of a Melech, is to involve themselves in the needs of the people. The people have, they need Parnassah, they need security, they need to be taken care of. They need public relations. The melech's role is to take care of the mundane activities of the nation, but through a Torah hashkafa. The melech, his role in Klal Yisrael corresponds to the role that Rosh Chodesh serves in the list of holidays for Klal Yisrael. So there's this relation between Rosh Chodesh and Malchus. That is why we find in Chazal that every Rosh Chodesh there was a Suda for the Melech. In fact, we find that's on the Haftarah of Malchus Chodesh. Tomorrow, Malchus Chodesh, there's going to be a Suda in the home of Shaul. And it was the custom that on Rosh Chodesh, the king, the Jewish kings, would make a lavish Suda, and everyone will be present. And you, David, your place will be missing. And Shaul's going to ask, where are you? Because on Rosh Chodesh is a time, Rosh Chodesh is something that the melech directly relates to. The role of a melech is very similar to the role that Rosh Chodesh plays in our Moad. Now, what about Shabbos? Shabbos not. Shabbos is in a much higher madrega. But Mitzoy Shabbos is a time that does relate to, also serves equal to Rosh Chodesh. Mitzvah Shabbos is the transition from Shabbos to Chol. Sunday is Chol, Shabbos is Kodesh. Mitzvah Shabbos, during that moment of transition, is equivalent to what Rosh Chodesh is by itself. Just like Rosh Chodesh is somewhere in between Chol and Kodesh, Shabbos is completely Kodesh, Yom Tov is completely Kodesh, Chol is completely Chol, Rosh Chodesh is somewhere in between, Mitzoy Shabbos, the Sudas Malava Malka, is exactly the same thing, it's somewhere in between. You go from Kedusha Shabbos into Sunday, which is Chol, the transition period is Mitzoy Shabbos, it's a microcosm of Rosh Chodesh, Da tehei sudasan davar malka, just like we find the kings, they celebrated Rosh Chodesh, Mitzvah Shabbos, Mav Malka is a time that's miyuchad for the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, because they fit the same role. What is unique about Shabbos that is followed by Rosh Chodesh is, we have the Su'udas Malava Malka on Rosh Chodesh. That's unique. If it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, so very good. It's Shabbos, it's Rosh Chodesh. When it comes Mitzvah Shabbos, no, it's Mitzvah Shabbos, it's no longer Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is over. It's a regular Malava Malka, it's a regular Mitzvah Shabbos. But when you have Rosh Chodesh falling on Sunday, then the intensity of Mitzvah Shabbos is at its peak. That is the Spitz. That is why it is a very unique event, and to the degree where we even lay in a special haftarah of Mochar Chodesh, not because of Rosh Chodesh per se the next day, it's because of the Malava Malka. Right after Shabbos, that one moment in time, the Sudas Malava Malka, that is the intensity of Rosh Chodesh, the full intensity of Rosh Chodesh experience can be experienced at the time of Malava Malka when Rosh Chodesh follows after Shabbos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Rav Schwab has here a very powerful beginning of the parasha. The parasha begins with the birth of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was 60 years old. The parasha tells us that the Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham hailidus Yitzchak. Vayihi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana bekachtoyes Rivka. He was 40 years old. He was 40 years old. Rashi asked the question in the first pasuk, why does it need to repeat Avraham Choylides Yitzchak? Rashi tells us, one of his superushim, because the Leitzani Hadar claimed that Me'avimelech Misabra Sarah. the Litzanei Hadar said that the father of Yitzchak is not really Avraham, it is Avimelech, because it's very strange. How could it be that right after Sarah was abducted, immediately after that event, that episode, Sarah became pregnant? So it must then be that really the Avimelech and the Sabra Sar. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Avraham Hoylidus Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed the cluster pun of Shol Yitzchak, Doima Li Avram, no one should make any mistake, they resemble each other. Avraham is the father of Yitzchak. Rav Shlavi has a very powerful question. Why did the Torah need to tell us this here in Parashas told us, the Pasuk should have told us this when Yitzchak was born? Vashem pokad es Sarah. Vayas lo kasher diber vatar vatiladein. She had a child. There, when the child was born, that's when the Torah should have said these words. Avraham choyle des Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tzar, the cluster upon of Shal Yitzchak, doimali Avraham, because of the late Sani Hadar. Why now are we waking up 40 years later to have to come on to this event? So he says something, I think it was very, very powerful, because he says that Mishas Maisa, people saw the miracles. People saw the miracles. They saw Avraham, that Sarah was able to nurse all of the children. They saw that Sarah, she became young once again. Everyone saw it. B'shas Maisa, they sensed the miracles that Avraham was truly the father of Yitzchak, even without the cluster pun of Shal Yitzchak Midoim Eli Avraham. However, 40 years passed. Masha Yaseh Hazman Lo Yaseh Hasechel. After 40 years, people began to forget all of the miracles. They forgot what it was like. They forgot that whole experience. And they look back on paper. And they say, really? Did it really happen that Avram fathered a child when he was 100 years old? Did it really happen Sarah, 90 years old, had a child? Let's take out the records. Right before Avram went, Sarah had a child, she was abducted by Avimelech. So let's rewrite history. Let's conveniently take the facts and rewrite history, and let's forget about what really happened. That is human nature. I remember years ago, the first time I heard someone talk about the Holocaust denial, the first time I was a child, I was in shock. I was in utter shock. I was brought up, okay, with the Holocaust, there was so many, everyone talking about the Holocaust with the greatest reverence, 6 million people. There can be a shaitan today, there can be a shaitan that can say the Holocaust never happened. And in those days, when I was a child, it was very rare. It wasn't widespread, such an attitude that the Holocaust didn't happen. And now, 70 years later, this is a way of life. It's a way of life. Anyone who hates Klal Yisrael, the first thing is the Holocaust never happened. If you want to say it happened, not on the scale. It wasn't 6 million people. It was only a few hundred thousand. It was only a million. Not like what the Jews say. It's a lie. It's exactly Maisa Avos similar Rabbanit, what it says in this week's parasha. Tzor Hashem had to tzor klaster pon of Shel Yitzchak Doim Li Avram 40 years later. Because 40 years later, people began to start rewriting history. And why were they rewriting history? Because they looked at the facts. And the truth was not recorded. I once heard someone talk about Jewish history. It says, Jewish, do we have a problem with Jewish history? Today we have a lot of fantastic Jewish historians, and we have a lot of books, but there are a lot of things that are just not, that are not recorded. And you could study from today until tomorrow. Take out all the newspapers and you can interview people. But there are things that are just were not recorded. And some of the things that were not recorded are essential to really understand the times. And when you don't have that flavor and that information, and you look at all the facts, everything gets distorted. This is a reality. It's not just for us. It's for the whole world is like this. And that is why Rav Schwab says, B'dafka, after 40 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to enter into the picture. And now, 40-year-old adult, Tzor Kalasta upon of Shal Yitzchak Demli Avram, don't rewrite history. Don't make any mistake about it. Avraham Hoylidus Yitzchak, let's put an end to all the Holocaust deniers right here and now, and something like this should never happen. Okay. Now, there's another interesting idea, but it's a short idea. I saw this in one of the pamphlets lying on the table. I didn't get a chance to read from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He asked the question, a very powerful question, how could it be that Hashem formed the cluster upon him, Shal Yitzchak, Dimli Avram? Avraham was Midas Harachanim. Yitzchak is Midas Hadin. And we all know very good and well that you can tell, you can see, you can read a person's personality off their face. You look at a person, you can tell, are they angry, are they happy, are they sad? You can look at a person carefully, you can tell if he's a kind person, he's a mean person. That's the way it is. We all know good and well that the personality of a person, their midos, are etched into their face. And people that have greater chokhmah are able to see more. So if the essence of Avraham Avinu is a person of chesed, and Yitzchak's essence is midas hadin, it's impossible. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu be tzor the class the partner of Shel Yitzchak Daim Eli Avram? I saw the question asked on the table during Chazoras HaShatz. Unfortunately, I was distracted and I didn't get a chance to look at it. But it's a gewaldig question. It's a gewaldig question. I have to go back and see what the Lubavitcher Rebbe says.
Well, I thought Bechavi mixed Rachamim together with Din because.
Yeah, but how could you look at Yitzchak? How could you make a mistake? You look at Yitzchak and you look at Yitzchak. You say Yitzchak looks like Avram. How could Yitzchak possibly look like Avram? If Yitzchak is Midas Harachamim and Avram is Midas Harachamim, okay, they look alike. They're clones of each other. But since the essence of Yitzchak is Din, that has to mean that his personality is written on his face. It's impossible for the Tzor Kilas to upon him Shal Yitzchak Din Eli Avram. So the answer has to be something along the lines, that's exactly what the miracle was. The miracle was that people came to realize that the harshness of Yitzchak was all rooted in Rachamim. In other words, people, there are different types of personalities in this world. There are some people that are very critical. Go out into the world, there are some people that get up and they make speeches, and everything is no good. They're extremely critical. And then you have another speaker, he gets up and says, what a wonderful world we live in, everything is fine and good, and everyone is a tzaddik, and you pat everyone on the back. They're different worlds! His personality is a nice guy, and this one that's very tough. The miracle was, the koyach was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yitzchak the koyach, to convey to people that my harshness, my criticism with society is rooted in rachamim. It's not just stam that they looked alike. Of course, we believe what Chazal say literally. But it's more, when people, they saw, let's say you see a Yitzchak gets up and gives a speech, a fiery speech, and they say, this is the child of Avraham Avinu. I knew Avraham Avinu. I was there when he spoke. I was the nicest guy in the world. He took me into my home. He gave me the best food, the best drink. This is the child of Avraham Avinu? Never. He's a child of Avimelech. Avimelech was a tyrant. He was a Rasha. He was a tyrant. This Yitzchak, he has those midos. He's a tyrant. Look how he behaves. Midas Hadin. It gives a look. The whole world blows up. This is not an Enochal. This is not a child of Avraham Avinu. The miracle was Tzor Klaster Panav, that in Yitzchak's approach of harshness, he was able to connect with people to open up a spark and say, you know, I heard this before. I heard this speech before, but the message was his father, Avraham. It's just that Avraham's approach was through chesed, Yitzchak's approach was through din, but they meet at the same point. And indeed, only someone who's a child of Avraham Avinu can make such a speech, can give such, can present something in such a... It's true! He's a tough guy! But if he was Avimelech speaking, I would never say that Avimelech couldn't deliver a tough speech like this, that I can say how he's part of Avraham Avinu's family. This harshness, it's geared and it's developed and it's nuanced in a way that I see his love for us, his love for mankind, and the Nela Tzor Kilaster Panav Shal Yitzchak Doim Eli Avraham. Yeah.
The Talking when he was born. We're not talking about 30 years.
It's not muchach. Yeah.
So they look alike. So while Avimelech was...
She was thinking about Avraham Avinu.
That's why...
Okay, there's always... Okay, all right. Elu ve'elu, there's truth to what you're saying, I agree, but there's also truth to this approach.
Right.
There's a very powerful idea of Tzor Kilaster Panav, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he's making the Moridic point. What?
When did Yitzchak express the Midas of Din?
Yeah.
Later, when he grew up and when he had to do with people.
Okay. He's 40 years old here.
Okay, so that's when he first came out with the Kedusha.
Okay.
Until then, people thought he was a soft guy. They didn't know anything.
Okay, there's a deeper meaning in Tzor Kalaster upon him. It doesn't just mean to look alike. It means the derech. It's a derech, a different derech, and Avodas Hashem. Yeah.
I had something similar, the idea of Pachad Yitzchok.
Yeah.
I think Rabbi Solomon pointed out, in Mamashi, what his father did, he followed, he did not deviate, he was not an independent thinker. A marshal, his father got married late, he got married late. And he had children late. He wanted, his father went down to Mitzrayim, he wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. So he followed whatever his father did. No.
Okay, that's a different approach. The Pachad Yitzchok means that he followed in line. Of, you know, it's like a different idea.
If I didn't hear it from my Rebbe Shammai, I didn't tell things on my own. So he was the same way.
Very good, very good. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah.
This is Gavral that could answer that famous Gemara Pekes and Shabbos.
What does the Gemara say?
Avram Avinu was told Banecha Chotu. Yimachal.
Okay.
Yimachal.
Yitzchak palgilai palgilach.
Yitzchak is midas adin.
Yes.
There it says he had midas from avinu chesed.
It's also chesed. There's also an approach. Okay, there's an approach of chesed.
Right.
Okay, let's go to another. We learn over here about the wells. The men of Yitzchak dug three wells. Really, there are four wells. That's later in the parasha. But we start off with the three wells. Some say there were five wells. Can you find me the fifth well of Michal?
No.
I said one medrash, there were five wells. Where are there five wells? And the Ghost of Barta said the five wells correspond to the Chamish Shechem Shei Torah. But there are only four wells. Where's the fifth well? I'm not sure what that medrash means. What? Doesn't count, but it says the Chamish Shechem Shei Torah. Okay, I'm not sure what it means. But it says here, let's first discuss the first three wells. The first well is Vayach Peru Avde Yitzchak Be'er. They dug a well, and the Pelishtim, they quarreled, so they called it Esek. Again, they dug a second well, again they argued, they called it Sitna. The third well was dug, and no one put up a fight. They called it Rechoivais, Ki Hirchev Hashem Lanu. Just give me one moment, let me find the exact pasuk. I don't have the article. Perek Chavav, Pasuk, Vayirivu. Okay, I got it. Vayach v'yacheretz ayuvu gamolach v'yikor shmo sidna v'yatek misham v'yach v'yacheretz lo yuvolach v'yikor shmo v'chovois. Vayomer ki ato hirchiv Hashem lanu uforinu varetz. What does the Medrash say? Everyone knows this Medrash, that these three wells correspond to the three batei mikdoshes. The first well is the Bayis Rishon, the second is the Bayis Sheni, and the third is the Bayis Shlishi. The second is Sitna. When did the Bayis Sheni was built? It was built during the time of Achashverosh, and it says the Haman's men kosvu sitna. We learned this in Sefer Ezra, Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim, kosvu sitna, an accusation against Jewish people that they were rebelling against the king, against Daryavish and Ezra. So they that's why the word sitna is tied into the second. The second well was sitna loose to the Bayis Sheni. The first well was Esek. Esek was due to various sins. It was destroyed to their sins, just like they quarreled and they had to relinquish control over the first, the second well. Likewise, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni were destroyed. But the third well, Rechoivos, alludes to the Bayis Shlishi, which was not destroyed. Okay, everyone is familiar with this famous Chazal. Three wells, three Batei Mikdashos, the first two were destroyed, the third is going to be Rechoivos, Ki Hirchev Hashem Lanu, Ki Hirchev Hashem Lanu v'fnei baretz. Okay, I want to just add one more, connect this to one more point that I came across. The first two wells, Torah tells, were dug by a group of people. Vayach Peru Avde Yitzchak. Or better said, it was not done by Yitzchak himself, it was done by his men, his workers, his assistants. The first well was, let me get you back to the pasuk. Vayoshav Yitzchak vayachpar etzveres hamam asher chavu b'yav maviv kei vayikosh kei vayachpiru avdei Yitzchak vayachpiru b'loshon rabim avdei Yitzchak, the servants of Yitzchak banochal vayim susham be'er mayim chayim vayarivu reyagroim roy Yitzchak lemolon hamayim vayikosh shema be'er esek. Okay, next well. Nochamol vayachpiru be'er acheres. They, who are they? The avdei. Avdei Yitzchak, the same thing, Beloshen Rabin. L'choy, right, Vayach Peru. Doesn't say Avdei, but that's the assumption, because the continuation of the previous pasuk. Vayiv Gamalecha. Okay, let's go to the third well. The third well, it says, Vayatek Misham, Vayach Por. Who dug the well? Yitzchak himself. Yitzchak himself dug the well, not his people. And when he dug the well himself, V'loy Ravu Aleha, there was no quarrel. Vayikra, he himself called the well Shema Richai Vos, Vayamu Ki Atu Herchiv Hashem Banu Fin Varetz. I believe here there's something very powerful that relates to the three Batei Mikdash. When we connect these, this Yisod with what we just said before. The Bayis Rishon, in whose Zuchos was the Bayis Rishon built? Was it the Zuchos of the people living during the time of the Bayis Rishon? Not necessarily. In fact, when they wanted to bring the Aron to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the doors did not want to open. Why did it open? Bavur David Avdecha. We have a long history. We have to collect our debts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have many tzaddikim gave up a lot and worked very hard from the beginning of time until the time of Shlomo HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Bayis Rishon, we can suggest more or less, we have source for this as well, was built and came into existence in the zechus of our predecessors. We were living off their zechusim, zechus avos. The Bayis Sheni, to a large degree as well, also. The Bayis Sheni from the time of the Beis HaMikdash already was determined. The moment the Bayis was destroyed, it was only going to be for 70 years. After 70 years, you can have a second Bayis. Which basically means it doesn't make a difference how religious you are at the time of the Bayis Sheni. It was already predetermined. Hashem, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. In 70 years, I'll see you then. Come back in 70 years. But was Klal Yisrael holding on to Madrega 70 years later? Were they really deserving the Bayis Sheni? No. How do we know this? Because the Chazal tell us that the miracle, there should have been miracles that happened during the time of Bayis Sheni greater than the miracles that happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim, and instead nothing happened. It was Al Derech HaTeva. And in fact, 90% of the population did not even want to return. Only small pockets of Jews were willing to return to Mos Nefesh. So we were not deserving of the Bayis Sheni either. It was only Zuchus Avos. It was predetermined. That's the deeper meaning, Vayach Peru Avdei Yitzchak. The Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, do you know why it was destroyed? Because it was never built on our own Zuchusim. It was built, it came into existence in the Zuchus of people who worked on our behalf, our predecessors. But now we're living, we're waiting for the Bayis Shlishi. And the Bayis Shlishi is Vayach Por. It's going to be built in our Zuchusim. Hashem is waiting for us to accumulate our own merits for this generation, for the generation of Golas, to come to a point when in their own zechusim, in their own merits, they will be worthy of, because it's not set. Hashem's no predetermined time. It's not going to happen. We don't have Nevi'im among us. We don't have any promises that are yet to be collected. It has to come in our merit. Vayachpor Yitzchak. Yitzchak's the one that's going to build. Klal Yisrael in their merit. And when it comes in your own merit, it's rechoivos. Ki hirchiv Hashem lanu uferinu v'aretz, it can never be destroyed. Something you earn in your own merit is eternal. Something that you have only be Yerusha, it's not the same. Easy come, easy go. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Is there any connection, correlation between the word Rechoivos and the Bayis Shlishi, or just Reachbor?
Rechoivos and what?
And Vayachbar.
Vayachbar?
They could have named it something else, no?
They could have named Vayach, I don't know. Why?
Sitna was Sodom of
Sitna and Asek. Asek, I don't know why they called it Asek. It means to quarrel. Rechoivos is wide. It's a wide area. No one's bothering us. It's going to here remain forever. When you walk in Rechoivos, say it again.
It's not an argument. It's the opposite of argument. It's greeting.
Okay, when you walk in the street, you're supposed to say good Shabbos to your fellow man. Excellent.
Not only a Shabbos, but even the
Rik. That's a chumrah. Ein gezerah shein roiv hatsiv yichol my boy. You're putting upon us too many gezerahs. Okay, let's go to the next, another quick idea. What is the ultimate compliment you can give a person? What is the ultimate compliment you can give a person? You can say to them, I want to be just like you. You want to say to your children, I want my children to be just. That's the compliment you go give. So you say some nice, when you get in front of an audience, you say some nice words. Big deal. Right? Big deal. You say some nice words. I remember there was once a bris, it was a bris, and there were a lot of rabbanim, chash rabbanim, and the person who named the baby after a certain person, who happened to be the child of someone there, and the person did not give him a kibbut. Okay, the baby was named after so and so, and the person's child, who was no longer living, was present. It was at the bris, and the Baal HaBris apologized to the individual. I'm sorry, I got all of these. these heavyweights here. And you know, it's pikuach nefesh. I gotta go give this rav shiva, this rav, and this rav, and this rav. And listen, you're just a little guy, you know. You're just an ordinary guy. I just can't give you a kibbutz. There are no kibbutzim left for you. I apologize, please. So the person said to him, "You need to give me a kibbutz. You need to give me a kibbutz out of your mind. You gave me whatever you can possibly give me doesn't equal what you have already given me. The fact that you named the baby after my father, do you know what that is for me? That you hold that your child should be like my father? There's nothing you can possibly give me that would be a kavod, because you've given me everything. The ultimate kavod you give a person is to give a bracha to be like you. Where do we learn that from? We learn that from this week's parasha. We have here this week's parasha, one of the major figures is Rivka. Rivka was an amazing person. From the very beginning, right away she sets the tone. You got a problem, you go Lidroish Es Hashem. Brachas. She's not going to let the wrong person get the bracha. Yaakov has to get the bracha. And she goes, she's Meister Nefesh with the Gedoy Yizim and the big Esav HaChamudos, and she says to him, in a very interesting expression, she says, Lifnei Hashem, the bracha sal Lifnei Hashem. Yaakov told Esav, I'm going to give you the bracha. He did not say the bracha sal Lifnei Hashem. When Rivka told Yaakov, I want you to go into the sky, she said, these are serious business. These are brachas that are Lifnei Hashem. She had a certain sense of Ruach HaKodesh. After the bracha Rav, when she saw that that Esav wanted to kill Rivka, but Tugal Rivka, how did she know? Ruach HaKodesh. She was no simple woman. She was a very holy woman. At the end of the parasha, it comes to, how did Yaakov Avinu, I always warned about this, how did Yaakov, when Yitzchak, relate to his wife Rivka? It's very interesting. We learn about the parasha of Shidduchim. Last week's parasha Chayisa. Shidduchim. What's the model? The model is Yitzchak and Rivka. Everyone is running to hear Shmuzim of parasha Chayisa about the laws of Shidduchim. Yitzchak and Rivka. Eliezer comes to the world. Chesed, Lavan, Besuel, Eliezer, Yofasi, Chasan, Mazel Tov. What happens after the wedding is over? Always we see you go to a wedding, beautiful wedding, Chasan Kala, very nice, he's the best bachur in Lakewood. He's the next girl, Hadar. And then a week later, a month later, a year later, 2 years, 10 years, what happened to them? I thought he was the next girl, Hadar. Disappeared off the face of the earth. What kind of marriage? What a shidduch made in heaven. What kind of shidduch? Are they really happily married? Is really a good shidduch. Years later, you find out there were problems, shalom bayis, divorce, this. What's the end? Where's the? So I always wondered. Chaye Sarah was wow, right? Unbelievable. This is the wedding of the century. I broadcast the reality show, broadcast online, and then what's next? Parshas told us if you ask the average person, it doesn't seem like it was a very good marriage. They don't get along. You don't see them talking. Dialogue, right? Go read any article. There has to be dialogue between husband and wife. Rivka is planning and plotting behind the scenes. What's going on over here? This is a healthy marriage. Rivka should confront Yitzchak. Yitzchak, Esav is not royal lebracha. Yaakov is royal lebracha. What's going on over here? No, I disagree with you. We can't come to terms. We can't come to an agreement. Something doesn't sit right. That's how always I felt. But the truth is, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is, there was no better marriage than Yitzchak and Rivka. How do I know that? How do I know there was no better marriage than these two? At the end of the parasha, Yitzchak says to Yaakov, Yaakov, it's time for you to get married. There are a lot of girls out there waiting for you. You have a long, long list. Who do I want you to marry? What's my priority one? I want the girl to be just like your mother. That's what he said. Go to Lavan, the brother of your mother, and take one of his daughters. Go. Don't take from Canaan. Don't take from here. I want you to marry a girl just like your mother.
That's what he did.
What?
That's what he did.
That's what...
just like his mother.
Yeah.
But she,
because it says how she replaced it.
Okay, that's what he did, but not this, it's not pronounced. It's not pronounced to such a degree. It just happened. Eliezer went to the well to find the girl. Happened to be from the same mishpacha. It wasn't preordained. It wasn't premeditated like that. It worked out like that. Here he tells them that is the ultimate. There are certain shidduch jokes. I don't remember the jokes when the boy describes the girl to his father, and he says the girl is a clone of his mother, and the father says no, don't marry her, don't fall in again. It's a simon. That's a simon, huh? Okay, don't fall in. Right, that's how the joke goes. But here, look what happened in this week's parasha. Yitzchak Avinu, he recognized he has some polite disagreement with his wife. They don't see eye to eye on who should get the brachas. So this whole thing had to be pulled off. But if there really was a valid complaint, he would not have said, I want you to marry a girl just like your mother. Because it's not a good show. Look what your mother did to me. You shouldn't go down that. Don't go there. That is the ultimate compliment. That is a revelation, an insight into the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka, and it validates the royal wedding we had in Parshas Chayei Sarah. We shouldn't think Chayei Sarah was a royal wedding, got off to a great start, and then it was all downhill, which unfortunately we know that to be the case. Many more often than not, that's the way what goes on in the world. The more glitter and glamour there is in Haskal, unfortunately, doesn't always work out well at the end. That's not the case here. There's a reason why Parshas Chayisara is the model for all Shidduchim, because it worked out very well. And the proof is in the pudding of go marry a girl just like your mother.
I think there's an Or HaChaim that says that the relationship was not so good, and the reason being is because Rivka was so in awe of Yitzchak, as evident by the...
I am Panamutara. But you can't deny this point at the end of the parasha. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, marry a girl just like your mother, just like my wife. That says a lot. Everything else is true. You're right. I am part of the Torah. But look at this piece of the puzzle. This piece of the puzzle speaks volumes. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, another quick idea. Vayista, now this idea, many of you may disagree with this idea. Two things I want to share. Two of these two ideas may be a bit controversial. You may not like the pshat I'm trying to suggest in the pasuk, but I think there's something here, and it's food for thought. At the end of the brachas, it says, "Vayistoim Esav liYaakov." Esav hated Yaakov. Now, if I would not tell you the end of the pasuk, why would you think Esav hated Yaakov? Pasha, because Yaakov stole the brachas. The brachas were meant for originally for him, and it was taken away in a very clever way. So what exactly did Esav lose out on? He lost that on the Yitin Lecha Elokim Yitalashmayim Mishmaritz Rav Dagon Vesirosh. He lost it on the brachas. But the truth is, Esav also got a bracha. Yaakov did not want to give Esav a bracha at all. It's only because Esav cried. Vayevk, he cried bitterly before his father. Havrach achas, there's one more bracha. Can you give me that one bracha? He lifted up his voice and he cried. Chazal say he cried two and a half tears. He cried. So Yitzchak gave in. He gave in. Vayan Yitzchak. Okay, I'm giving you a bracha. Pashup shot. And I am Panotar. You can show me Rishonim and tell you all these different deep insights to the pasuk. Derech pshat. Okay, I give in. I'm going to give you the bracha. Hinei. Mishmanei ha'aretz yiyah moshavecha umital ha'ashmai me'ol. Okay, that says it all. And he goes on to say that you're going to be even Esav, in case Chas Shalom Yaakov Avinu stumbles, then you will be able to prevail upon Yaakov Avinu. But you're going to have the Tal HaShamayim and the Shmanei Aretz. First, in fact, is the Shmanei Aretz, and then is the Tal HaShamayim. The best Italia Shel Yava. Now, Parsha is over, the episode is over, the Torah reveals to us that Esav, Vayistoim, Esav is Yaakov. Now how do you translate this next word? Next words. Al HaBerocha Asher Berucho Aviv. Simply means, Esav hated Yaakov concerning the Baracha, that Bericho Aviv, that Yaakov, Yitzchak, gave Yaakov. The bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov was meant for Esav, and did not go to Esav, but instead went to Yaakov. That's the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. I want to suggest, Al Derech Drush, not Al Derech Pshat, that it's not the translation of the Pasuk. Asher Berichoi Aviv, he hated him for the bracha that he got. The bracha, the habracha achas hilcha avi. Esav hated Yaakov because of the bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav. What was the bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav? Mishmane haaretz yihye moshevecha umital hashamayim me'al. Now you ask me a question, why in the world would Esav hate Yaakov when Esav got this incredible bracha of the Shmanei Haaretz and the Tal HaShemayim, Italia Shel Yavan? The whole world, the whole Ulam Hazeh Kemat was given to Esav. Why would he hate Yaakov Avinu for that? The answer is, unfortunately we see in the news that when you have everything and you don't know what to do with it, you can go out of your mind. You can go out of your mind, and unfortunately the people who commit suicide, most of them are, many of them, not but many of them are people that have it all. They have nothing, they're the top, the best life. And what happens? What do I do now? I have everything that the world has to offer, and a very deep depression sinks in. And people who are struggling to make ends meet, to put food on the table, they're happy with the simple little things. They're happy with their children. They're happy going out to a diner. They're happy going to a pizza store. They're happy to get a car that's a little nicer than their last model. Mole simcha. And the people that have everything the world has to offer, they're going out of their minds. What's the pshat? They don't have a way with dealing with bracha. Yaakov Avinu has Torah, was given the brachas of Ruchnias. When you have Ruchnias, that gives you a mahalach, a derech in dealing with Kashrus. But the Kashrus would give a religious Jew, a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, $1 billion, he would know what to do with it. His life would more or less remain the same. He would have his Siddurim. He would daven in the same shul. He would fight with the same gabbai in shul. It would be the same thing. Same davening, same shul, same rabbi. He would take a vacation. He would go to Eretz Yisrael. He would put his name on a building, this organization. He would give $1 million to this chesed organization. He would know what to do with his bracha to give him even more satisfaction in life. But a person that doesn't have a hadrocha in Ruchnias, a person who lives a life that's kula gashmias, has not been trained with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Torah Maisim Tovim, and you give him everything, and now what? And what do I do? You can go out of your mind. Esav blamed Yaakov for being forced into a position where he cried, where he didn't realize, you know, sometimes a bracha is not good. There are different stories of the Gedolei Yisrael. People come for brachas to Gedolei Yisrael, and they beg them for bracha. And they say, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, the bracha is not good for you. It's not in your best interest. And when they don't believe the tzaddik, and they say, I want it anyway, and they get it, it doesn't work out for their benefit. It's not always good for there should be a bracha. Esav blamed Yaakov. You, Yaakov, put me in a position where I was jealous of you, and I cried to my father, and I twisted the arm of my father to give me that last bracha of Gashmias, of the Shemaneh Haaretz, the Tal HaShemayim, and I did not have the background to deal with this bracha, because I don't have Shaychis to Torah, I don't have Shaychis to David the Ruchnias, and now when I have in front of me Italia Shel Yavon, I have Esav as Italia Shel Yavon. Do you know how much death the nation of Edom has brought upon themselves and upon the world because they don't know how to deal with this world? They don't know how to deal with the power and the bracha that Hashem has given them. What went on during the time of the Crusades, what went on before the whole Crusades, was a response because people just didn't know what to do with themselves. Bloodthirsty people just roaming the countryside. They don't know how to deal with bracha. Hashem gave you Italian shalyavan, and you're totally lost, and now you have to find the mission for yourself, and the mission was shagas to go kill everyone? That Esav, that's very unsatisfying. And even Esav, deep down in his neshama, knows that this is not a life. This is not something which brings me satisfaction. And therefore, who do I have to blame for my predicament? Yaakov! Because Yaakov, you're the one that put me in this position to cry, to twist my father's arm that I should get this bracha. So when you read the pasuk, and the pasuk says, Vayistayim Esav, es Yaakov, al habrocha asher beruchay aviv, it doesn't mean the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov. But I hate you because of the bracha that I ended up getting for myself. Because I don't know how to deal with this bracha, and ultimately it led to my chorban. Okay, that's one idea. Now, another quick Jewish idea. Now, this I have real makar for, but in a different avenue. We have here Yitzchak Yaakov disguises himself, and he comes Ula Yimusheni Avi. Perhaps he will feel me. He goes in front of Yitzchak. Yitzchak says to him, "Who are you, my son?" So he says, "I am Anochi Esav b'chayrecha. Come, let me feel you." Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayaday bidei Esav. V'lo hi kiro. Yitzchak did not recognize him. Ki hayu yodav siros. And then what does it say? Vayivarechehu. Okay, it says in the pasuk, v'lo hi kiro. Yitzchak did not recognize who was sitting in front of him. Ki hayu yodav siros. And then he blessed. Who blessed who? Pashup shat. Who blessed who? Yitzchak blessed Yaakov. But didn't Yitzchak bless Yaakov later? The brachas didn't happen yet. The brachas happened. The brachas. So you saw these were introductory brachas. These were warm up brachas. Give a bracha, Shalom Aleichem. How are you? You should be benched. Let's now get down to business. I give you the. Okay, Pashup shat, the multiple layers of bracha. The Sipurno seems to say, okay, without going into all the details, that no, the one that gave the bracha was all the way around. Yaakov blessed his father. Velohi kiro ki hayu yodav siros. He didn't recognize. Kama vayivarecheu. The child blessed his father. It's derech eretz for a child to give bracha to a father. Is it? Well, that's questionable. There's a son, a child. Well, I'll prove to you that a child gives a bracha to a father. The ultimate proof. Gemara in Masech the Brachas. I think it's Tafches. It's a song. Everyone knows the words of the song from Avram Fried, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Pamachas, Nichnasti, Lefnai V'Lefnim, V'Reisi Ko Hashem, Akasriel Ko Tzivakos, Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanner Rabbi Shmuel was a Kohen Gadol. He entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He saw in the Kodesh HaKadoshim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Omar Li, V'Yoho Omar Li, Yishmael, everyone knows the song of Avram Fried, Bini, you say Bini 50 times, and then Barcheni. Hashem asked Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael, Bini Barcheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father. Avinu Sheba Shamayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Bini, bless me, bless your father. So we do see a precedent where a child blesses his father. Al-Tirch-Sedyet, even though a child to a father is Al-Tirch-Sedyet. And what was the bracha? Now this is very important for this pasuk. What was the bracha? The bracha was, Hirotza milfanecha, sheyichmeshu rachanecha eskascha. Your midas harachamim should prevail upon your midas hadin. What was Yitzchak? Yitzchak was kula din. When you give a bracha to a father is harsh to a child. Shma bini musar avicha. When you deal with a father-child relationship, the father is always harsh. No matter what. Even Avraham Avinu to Yitzchak is midas hadin. Alach has kama v'kama. When you're dealing here with Yitzchak, which is the father of Din, when he's dealing with his child, the way a father relates to a child is midas hadin. So when you give a bracha to a father, what do you say to the father? Sheyich meshu rachanecha eskascha v'yogoylu rachanecha al midas secha. Your rachanim should overcome your midas hadin. V'sikani sitanu lefnim yeshuras dinecha. That goes on and elaborates on this concept. But look what happens over here. After Yitzchak, after Yaakov steals the brachos, Yitzhak becomes aware of what happened. Vayechra Yitzhak charada gedoyla adma. Vayom v'yefel hu atzotzai. Vayom li v'oichel. And then what does he do? When he discovers, and what would you do if you discover that you've been fooled? You get angry, and you curse, and you punish. And then what does he do? What does he do? He says, Gam Baruch Yehiye. He should be blessed. Let us ask, where in the world did Yitzchak Avinu, a father who has been fooled by a child, every father's relationship to a child has to be within. Shema b'ri Musar Avicha. And Alachas Kam V'Kama. Yitzchak, the father of Midas Hadin, has to deal with harshness. When he has been taken in as a fool, and when he's been fooled, what do you think he's going to do? He's not going to say, Gam Baruch Yehiye, he's going to curse him. But instead he says, you know what? Gam Baruch. How? What changed? Where did he derive the bracha of his own child?
Or maybe it's the cluster panim of Avram that we talked about earlier.
Okay, let's, one thing at a time. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Where did Yitzchak get the koyach? Gam Baruch Yehiye. He got the koyach from the bracha that his own son, the bracha was fulfilled. When you give someone a bracha, you're really blessing yourself. Hamavarech misparech. When Yaakov blessed his father, vayivarecheyu, father, you should be blessed. Your midas harachamim should overcome your midas hadin. It boomerang, because now when Yaakov Avinu was the one that was subject to the wrath, to the midas hadin of his father Yitzchak for what he has done, his own bracha was fulfilled. Yitzchak was able to overcome the midas hadin with rachamim and realize it was all for the best. Gam Baruch Yehiye. The ones who bless you, it means, but it's the same idea. And where did all this come from? Let's even go a step back. How did it even come to the fact that Yitzchak, the Yaakov Avinu, blessed, that he blessed his father? It's only because he came in close contact. Gishona Eli, come close to me. That's when he, to come close, what's the deeper measure of coming close? Coming close means give me a blessing. It doesn't just mean come close, I want to feel you. I want to feel you. When you come in a person's presence, you're asking, give me a bracha. And that was not part of the script. That was not part of the script. Why did that happen? It only happened because of the midas ha'emes of Yaakov Avinu. What did Yaakov Avinu say to his mother Rivka? Ulai yimusheni av. If the Gra says the difference between the word pen and the word ulai, pen means I don't want it to happen. Ulai means I want it to happen. Yaakov says to his mother, okay, I'll play along with you, but halavai, I should be discovered, because I'm an isha emes, and this thing does not sit well with me. To be a fraud, to be a charlatan, does not sit well with me. I have no choice, mother, but to listen to you. I'll go along. But Ribbono shel Olam, save me from this busha uchlima. Ulai, halavai, I should be caught. And his own tefillah was answered. How was it answered? Something is not right here. Come close. Gishonai. There was a new chapter added to the script. There was a new addition, Gishah, which required Yitzchak to give, Yaakov to give a bracha. And then, what?
Yitzchak was encouraging of the blessing?
Yes, that's what I want to suggest. Gishonai, I want to suggest that the word Gishonai means to come close. It means give. It means an endearment. It doesn't just mean come, physically come close. It means Gishonai, let's come close and do something for me. And what did that result in? The next step, one thing led to another. You come close, give me a bracha. Barcheini, b'ni barcheini, yihirotzan milafonecha, sheikh b'shu rachamecha al-kascha. And then who ended up being saved from that bracha? Gam baruch yihiyeh. He himself. So this whole thing, it's a series of events. One thing led to another. Ulai Yimusheni led to Gishonai, and Gishonai led to a bracha, Vayivarachayu, and Vayivarachayu led to Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. There's a whole series of events. One event leads to the next event, and all works out for the benefit, for the ultimate bracha, for Yaakov Avinu. Okay. Okay, just to conclude with one last thing on the events of this week. This week, again, as we said before, Vayida, the events is Vayazid Yaakov Nozid. We're all Avelim. In this week's parasha, there's one thing about this week's parasha. It's a very powerful limud of Nechama for Klal Yisrael. In Shabbos, is not as man of Avelis, it's not of Nechama. Is that we learn about the Koyach HaBechi. Esav cried, Vayefch, he gave forth a cry. Chazal tell us two tears came out of his eyes. Because of those two tears, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni was Scharaf. A third tear was about to descend, the Malach came and stopped it. If that third tier would have descended, then there wouldn't be a Bayis Shlishi. It would have been Charav. It would not come into existence. Chazal take this and they elaborate. If this is what a Rasha, the Dechi of a Rasha, can accomplish, Al Achas Kam V'Kamah, Ben B'noi Shal Kal V'Chomer, what a cry, the Dechi of a member of Klal Yisrael cries for something that's worthy, something that's meaningful, how much power, how much koyach it has in the Olamos V'Elyonos. This week was an incredible tragedy. The tears that have been shed were like never before. Like we said, every person can put himself in their position. The shock, the tear, the emotion, halavai, that those tears in this week's parsha should be poyel in Shemayim, that we should be zochet to immediately witness the coming of Mashiach and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash v'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.